This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 479. When you have that vision, when you know, when you finally make the decision, this is where I'm going. Like everyone else around you is like, hey, he's going somewhere. Let's go with him. Like that's what leadership so much is about. It's not about having the perfect answer. It's not about knowing like this is like the perfect solution. And I'm like, it's just making a decision and going with it. You weigh your options. You say, these are my different options. I'm just going to make the decision. And if it's the wrong decision, I can correct course later.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everyone? It's Brandon Turner, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, at least for now, David Green. what I mean by that is today's episode, you're not in most of the episode. You're here in the introduction and the outro, but what's up, David?
Well, now I don't know. What's up with you? That's funny.
All right. Today's show is a little bit different style. We'll talk about it in just a moment, but I first wanted to ask, David, if you could relive any day in your investing, your real estate investing life, if you could relive any day, what would it be?
In my investing life, this is really good.
Yeah, relive it, not to do it differently, but to like just to be there in the moment again.
As odd as this sounds, I would relive the day that I refinanced 4 California properties out of 30-year mortgages into 15-year mortgages, because the day that I did that, I ran it through an amortization calendar and I realized how quickly like this was going to scale as far as equity was going to go. I was going to pay them off faster than 15 years, but I ran it through a calculator where I realized I can pay off these 15-year mortgages at 9 years and then refinance them, buy more properties, do the same thing again. And I was going to turn these properties over like 4 times and grow it to like $12 million instead of like $1.5 million that it was worth. And like that feeling of compound interest working for me just had me jazzed up. I was like walking on the clouds. As I know, it's a weird story, but I remember being super excited when I saw how that worked out. What about you?
I'm going to go with way back in the day, back when I was 21 years old, I was reading a real estate book. And I remember getting really excited about this concept of like buying properties and then the equity growing, similar to you, like the equity growing. And then I could take the money out and sell those properties or refinance them and then put that into bigger ones. And like, kind of like what I call like the stack today, it was kind of that. And I remember writing down on a piece of paper, like this big, long piece of paper, like this, how much I would have here. And then it gets paid down. And it just for like, I realized like I was going to be a millionaire that day. And I was only 21. I had no money. I was broke. I had no credit, no anything. I owned my only one property I was living in, that first house. And I realized right then I'm going to be a millionaire. Like this is totally doable because I realized the power of real estate. So that was a cool day.
That's what both of us are describing.
Yeah.
When we saw how strong real estate was. It had nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's been like, there this whole time.
Yeah. It's like, this feels like it should be illegal. Like, yeah. It's just like there.
It's easy.
You buy property, they go up in value. You buy bigger property, they go up in value. And it just,
and I got to say, from that point, it only got better.
Yeah.
You mean I get to write off the depreciation, even though it's appreciating in value? Yeah. You mean I get to borrow most of the money? I mean, interest rates are going down. You mean the rents went up this much? It just every single thing got better.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, good for you. I wanted to make sure we got a little bit of content between you and I since today's episode is a little different. It's actually just me. So here's the backstory of what you're going to be hearing today. I did a class. I basically taught a class on the lessons I've learned in building a $50 million business, which actually within a month from now, we should be over $100 million, which is crazy. It's called Open Door Capital is my company. And so I did it for a group called the JDC Mindset Academy. We've had Jason Dries on the podcast before. Jason's a good buddy of mine. He's my performance coach. He has this mastermind group called JDC Mindset Academy. And Jason's asked me to come and speak on this topic of how I did it. It was called like opening doors or something like that. It was kind of play on words with open door capital. Anyway, at the end of it, people were like, Brandon, this was amazing. Like they really liked it a lot. And I was there, so I don't actually know. Cause you know, when you're speaking, you never know actually how it went, but people seem to like it. So I showed it to a few other people and they're like, yeah, you should definitely put that on a podcast. So here we are today. I'm playing it for you on this podcast so you can hear a bit of what I talked about, some of the lessons I learned in bringing in partners and scaling and how to know you're working with the right person and not the wrong person, how to do all of that stuff, how to keep your role intact, how to keep excited moving forward, all that stuff. A lot is covered in here with a lot of specific examples that hopefully are going to help you guys, whether you're trying to buy your first property or your 100th property. That's what today's show is all about. So that said, We'll get to that in just a minute. First, let's get to today's quick tip. All right, so today's quick tip, here we are, if you're watching this anyway when it comes out, here we are in June of 2021. And at the end of July, I think it's the 31st of July, we are launching a book called The Multifamily Millionaire. It's a book that myself and Brian Murray, it's actually two books, it's two volumes, almost 700 and some pages combined. It's a ton of information all about multifamily. Here's why I bring it up today. Because in the month of July, before the book even comes out, because a lot of people are excited about the book coming out, I'm going to be teaching every week a class on multifamily investing for those people who pre-order it from Bigger Pockets. So if you want, if you already have pre-ordered, or if you pre-order it by the end of June, then what I want you to do is I want you to go over to iwantmultifamily.com. I'm just going to make sure that's correct. iwantmultifamily.com. I bought that domain name just so we'd remember it on the podcast. iwantmultifamily.com. You're going to put your name, your email, you're going to upload a picture of a screenshot of of a receipt showing that you have pre-ordered The Multifamily Millionaire. And then you get to come to, I'm going to do four classes, one each week for the whole month of July, where I'm teaching a lot of the concepts of The Multifamily Millionaire, plus a little bit more that maybe isn't even included in the book. I think you're going to like it a lot. I'm going to put a ton of work in this thing because the goal here is I want everyone to pre-order this book. So the key, again, you got to buy both books. You got to pre-order both books directly on Bigger Pockets, not on Amazon. You got to buy them through Bigger Pockets and you'll get all that stuff. So do that before the end of June and then upload your stuff and then we'll have July. It's going to be awesome. So there's your not so quick tip. Good.
Very good.
All right. Maybe you'll join me for one of those. I don't know. We'll see. I might draft you in. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being a part of this, this community, this Bigger Pockets community. It's amazing. I hope you enjoy today's, this episode.
What if you could buy new construction homes up to $20,000 below market value? That's right. $20,000 in instant equity. What if you could use that same $20,000 to cover your down payment or score a lower mortgage rate? Talk about being spoiled for choices. Right now, Rent to Retirement is offering investors their choice of incentives when they invest in a new turnkey property. Your options? Up to $20,000 below retail pricing on new construction homes, aka instant equity, or a 5% down payment credit. That means less cash out of your pocket. Tired of high rates? Use that $20,000 to lower your interest rate to as low as 3.99% and score free property management for a year. All right, well, now they're just getting crazy over there. Rent to Retirement's final option? No money down investor loans. Take your choice of instant equity, low or no money down, or a rate as low as 3.99%. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. REI 33777 to take advantage of these limited time incentives. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP.
So with that said, I think we're ready to get into this thing.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, yeah, you haven't heard this yet, so we're going to play it for you now. So here we go. Thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic time. I don't have slides today, but I have notes. And so if I'm looking over here and not at the camera, it's because I'm reading my notes here. But I wanted to basically tell the story today of Open Door Capital and kind of what I did to grow my business over the last few years. But I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about everybody watching this and what you can take from this kind of the last year and a half of my life. And so some of this may be new to you, some may be old, maybe you've heard it before, but I've basically pulled out 9 or 10 lessons that allowed me to step into where I'm at today in my life. And so thought I'd just kind of run through that from beginning to end. Sound good? My story begins, the Open Door story anyway, begins, well, technically it begins a long time ago. I had a company called Open Door Properties. We bought small real estate deals in Grays Harbor, Washington. And I bought a duplex, triplex, fourplex, fiveplex, houses, did some flipping over the course of about a decade. So from when I was 21 to about 31, 32. And at some point in there, I started slowing down a lot because Bigger Pockets got more and more consuming of my time. And so I was buying a couple things a year, maybe really trying not to do much. I was making $3,000 or $4,000 a month in passive income from owning it. And when I say passive, I mean passive-ish, right? Like my wife was still managing the properties. I was living there. So I would go and take care of problems when they came up. I wasn't the full-time maintenance guy, but I did a lot of the maintenance. And that was just how it was. I was just a small, what I call a small multifamily real estate investor. You know, I actually got a book coming out here shortly. It's called The Multifamily Millionaire. And it's two volumes. So volume one is small multi, volume two is large multi. And the difference is not a unit number, actually, as much as that weird. The difference between small and large is the way you approach your business. Small is like, I do things myself. I usually manage myself, or it's a local property manager. I'm very much involved. I know all my tenants' names. Like, that's a small investor. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different game. Then there's large investing, which is like, I don't know who my tenants are. There's big, you know, gigantic billion-dollar companies that manage the properties. I'm raising money, it's syndication. It's that world, right? So two different approaches. So I was in camp A, small multi, for a number of years, and just small real estate. And then that led me to, I don't want to say complacent, maybe is the wrong word, but definitely to a point where I wasn't doing a lot. And this is actually around the time where I got connected with Jason for the first time. And so I was frustrated. I was trying to, you know, put out a million fires every week. And a lot of times, like, my $3,000 or $4,000 a month in passive income was dried up just from a big rehab or something like that. So I didn't feel like I was making a lot of traction, which is what got me thinking I need a performance coach to kind of get me to the next level. So that's where I connected with Jason at. And around then also, I went to Nashville. You probably heard this story before, but I'll say it again. As I went to Nashville, Tennessee, a buddy of mine lives there and he's a music producer, Grammy winning company. Like, all his team members are Grammy winners. He's a Grammy winner. They're really good at what they do. And it's a small team, though, only like 5 or 6 people in the entire company. And I flew there, hung out with them for a day, and he let me record a song in his studio because I do a little bit of music. And it was like the best day of my life. But it wasn't the best day of my life because of like the music. I mean, that was cool, like being in a Nashville studio. But what made it so amazing is because I saw a vision that I had never realized existed. And that was a small team of people who loved each other. They were good friends. They worked together. They showed up when they wanted. Nobody was telling them what to do. They did their job. They were top of their game. They were again, Grammy winners. They were just amazing people in a team. And they had such a camaraderie doing impactful work. And I just remember thinking, like, this is what I want. Because at the time, like I said, I was kind of feeling just kind of like, I'm not really doing much. But I got this feeling of like, this is what I want. So point number one, so lesson number one to pull out of that, I wrote, is start with the life you want to lead. And not so much like, I want this much money in the bank account, but what does that feel like? What does the life you want to lead feel like? For me, it felt like that, working on impactful things with high achievers, top performers who were also my friends. I sound like Michael Scott here, right? I'm world's best boss. They're all my friends. But the idea being like, I wanted to love work. Like, because I think work is so vital for the soul, right? Like, nobody who can get financial freedom takes financial freedom. People who retire die. It's just, it's a fact. And so I love work, the idea of work, but I just never experienced work like that. So lesson number one is to, again, start with the life you want to lead, but start with what does that feel like? So I went home from there super inspired of like, I want to have that someday. And I don't know what business that's going to be. I don't know if it's real estate, if it's something else, but I know that's what I want in my core. It just, it felt so right to me. And so then around that time, we started interviewing. I mean, I've been interviewing people on the Bigger Pockets podcast for 8-9 years now, but I interviewed a guest named Jefferson Lilly. Jefferson Lilly was a mobile home park investor. And then a few months later, I interviewed another guy named Kevin Bupp. Kevin Bupp was also a mobile home park investor. And on both those interviews, I walked away going, oh, that's so cool. Like, I love that idea. Like, I love the mobile home park niche. But I say that about a lot of things. I mean, I love self-storage. I love assisted living. I love a lot of these things. But I really just, something stood out about the mobile home park business and what they were saying about it. And I thought, that's really cool. So it's just another piece of the puzzle was I was listening to this. And then I went and got invited to speak at a real estate conference. It was called the Best Ever Conference, put on by Joe Fairless. And I was the keynote speaker there. So I go there, I speak at this event, and I realized very quickly I was the dumbest person in the room. Like, I had the least amount of properties. I did not deserve to be on that stage. I was surrounded by people who were doing millions and millions of dollars of transactions and were very, very successful people. And here was me, because I've got a podcast, I got a spot on the roster to be able to speak. And it really encouraged me in a big way to think bigger, to think, well, if they can do that, why couldn't I do that? And so lesson number two I wrote down here is get into a room where you're the smallest. Like, make sure that every so often you're in a room where you're the smallest player in that room. You're the dumbest person in that room. And we hear that advice before. It's not like I made that advice up, but we hear it, but we still don't do it very often. So the question I would fire at all of you is like, what can you do in the next month where you feel you're in a situation where everyone is kind of where you want to be? Whether that's a conference you go to, whether it's the type of podcast maybe even listen to, like, where's that next level where you can go and start getting in there? Maybe it's this Mindset Academy. I mean, just being here. Maybe you're looking around going, wow, there's people that are really, really good, because there are, that are just killing it right now. Like, I want to be more active here because this is where I'm not the smartest person in the room. It's easy to trick yourself into feeling really good about yourself when you compare yourself to your high school buddies who just want to sit around and drink and watch Family Guy all day. It's another thing when you go into a room where you're the dumbest. So that was the Joe event. Definitely was not the brightest in that room. On the flight home from that, I had a layover in Salt Lake City. It's from Denver to Salt Lake, Salt Lake to Maui. I actually moved to Maui right around that time. And I read the book Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold. I've talked about that before here in this group. But Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold took me 1 hour to read the whole book. It's a very short book. So from the flight from Denver to Salt Lake, I read the book. And then from Salt Lake to Maui, I put the book into practice. And the whole idea was paint a picture, a vivid picture of where you want to be 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And I'm not saying this is right for everybody. I think there's some people need that vision and some people need more of just like to feel things out. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But for me at the time, I had already like decided that what I wanted was that small team of people who were rock stars that were working together and living life together. I wanted that. Also, I knew that I liked mobile home parks. And so the vivid vision for me came at a perfect time. I decided like I needed to just pick something and go with it. And this leads to lesson number three. It's more important that you decide than what you decide. You see, one of the reasons I wasn't going bigger for a long time, like from the time I was in Nashville and knew I wanted to do something bigger, and then even like the people I've interviewed on the podcast for 7, 8, 9 years that were doing bigger stuff, the reason I wasn't doing bigger, it was because I just didn't know what to do. One week I'd go from like, oh, self-storage and then mobile home parks. Maybe I should flip houses and I could buy an apartment complex. And there was so much. And in the real estate investing space, there's so much you can do. And I needed to just say, you know what? It all works. I could be a successful multimillionaire in any of these niches. What I need is to pick something and go with it. So what fires me up? Mobile home parks. Okay, I wrote that down. Mobile home parks. Like, how am I going to get a team of five people around me to hang out and do life together and just have a great time like I saw in Nashville? Well, I'd have to buy a certain number of mobile home parks to justify that. Like, how could I make money? Well, when you do syndication, which means you pool a bunch of money and you buy big properties, there's fees involved. So the company that puts together the syndication, like my company, Open Door Capital, we would get a fee. So I just worked backwards. I said, okay, well, what would I need to be able to pay the salaries, roughly $500,000 a year for five people? I guess I would need about $50 million of real estate. So I wrote that down, $50 million of real estate. And then I just worked backwards from that, and I wrote my entire vision. It's up there on my wall right now. I've talked about it again many times, but it's called The $50 Million Surfers, how a small team of adventure seekers built a real estate empire, helped millions achieve financial independence, and kept their humanity intact. And on this like 2,000-word document, I walk through everything my company has 3 years in the future. So it's a newspaper article written 3 years in the future. I wanted 1,000 rental units. I wanted $50 million of real estate. I wanted to have mastermind meetups in Maui where I meet people and connect with people and grow my friendships and my networking. And I landed that flight in Maui. I landed in Maui with that document completed. I mean, it was done. I spent 7 hours working on the document and it was done. And I got home and I read it to my partner we had bought one real estate deal together. His name is Ryan Murdoch. I read it to him and I said, this is my vision for where I'm headed. And his first words were, I want to be a part of that. Like, let me be a part of that. I want to be with you on that. And I realized that moment, like that, when you have that vision, when you finally make the decision, this is where I'm going. Like, everyone else around you is like, hey, he's going somewhere. Let's go with him. Like, that's what leadership so much is about. It's not about having the perfect answer. It's not about knowing like this is like the perfect solution. And I'm like, it's just making a decision and going with it. You weigh your options. You say, these are my different options. I'm just going to make the decision. And if it's the wrong decision, I can correct course later. But I needed to be more decisive. So I made the call. This is what I'm doing. Mobile home parks. I'm going to go into this one. Ryan was the first one to say, I'm on board. Let's do this thing. Then that next week, a friend came out to visit in Maui. And we're sitting on my lanai, which is like a front porch. In Hawaii, we call them lanais. We're sitting on the lanai. And I'm having a conversation with Ryan and this other mutual friend of ours. And he is a wholesaler somebody who's really good at finding off-market properties, things that aren't for sale, negotiating and locking them up. And then they'll sell them for a fee to like me. For example, like if I was going to go buy a house, a wholesaler might lock it up, you know, get it under contract for $100,000. And then they'd go to me and be like, hey, you want to buy this property for $110,000? And then they would make the $10,000 fee. That's what a wholesaler does. So me and this wholesaler, we'll call him Ed. Me and Ed and Ryan are sitting on this lanai and we realize like, wow, like Ryan's really good at doing stuff. I'm pretty good at raising money. I think I will be. Could Ed find us all the properties? I mean, he's amazing at wholesaling. He's done millions of dollars he's earned from wholesaling houses. If he has a skill to do houses, he'd probably also have the skill to do mobile home parks. So we said right then and there, let's do a third partnership. Open Door Capital will be one third. The three of us are going to dominate the industry. You're going to find deals. Ryan's going to run the day-to-day and I'm going to raise the money. Now, what happened next is that nothing happened. Like nothing really happened. We didn't buy any properties. Nothing changed. We couldn't find anything. And my buddy Ed, we're still friends to this day. It just, what we found is he was too busy. He was too busy in his own business to shift everything to what needed to be done in mobile home parks. So my theory was wrong. I thought if you're good at the one thing, like wholesaling houses, you'll also be good at mobile home parks. And maybe he would have been, but he was busy and he had another business. And so the lesson that I learned there, and I wrote this down as well, so you can write this down, is you never know how someone's going to be until you work with them. Like you never know how an employee is going to be or a partner is going to be until you actually work with them. Resumes and speeches and all that stuff. I mean, even past experience is only a possibility of what they might be like for you. But even in this case with Ed, like he had the experience all day long and his past performance was solid, but it just didn't fit. And again, I don't want to make it sound like he was a bad person. He's a great person and a great investor. It just didn't fit with what we needed at the speed we wanted to go and all that. So, but now I had an awkward situation, right? Because now like he owns a third of my company and we're not doing anything. Nothing's happening, which is why the other lesson, it's not one of my that I wrote down here, but you can write this down as well, is give equity slowly. Partner on big pictures slowly. So today I don't, like if I'm starting another business and I have a lot of random business, like I'm starting a coffee company right now, like just to sell coffee because it's fun. It's like a side project. And I got a partner on that one, right? But we're not like laying out this grand partnership for the next 10 years anymore. Instead, let's just sell some coffee. Let's go sell 1,000 bags of coffee. Let's go buy a real estate deal. Let's go JV on a new build. Let's go do some consulting together. So in other words, find ways to work with people without having to get married. I mean, like we do it in dating, right? Like we date people for a time, then we get engaged. We have a lot of conversations. Maybe we get some counseling, like premarital counseling, and then we tie the knot. But it's so many times in business, it's like, hey, you're my friend. You have a pulse. Let's go into business together. And then you split some equity and it gets really big and then it gets complicated later. You know, I'm such a big believer now of like find ways to work with someone before you get married to them in business right now. So yeah, start small, which is exactly what I did with Ryan. Let's go back to the Ryan Murdoch. Ryan and I started with one single property we bought together and he was incredible at it. And I saw how well he worked at it. I saw how hard he worked at it. And that's why I brought him in as a third partner on the mobile home park business, Open Door Capital. So what we ended up doing is the guy, Ed, that we worked with, he started slowly putting together a team of interns. Now, he was still involved at this point. Today, he's not. And he did this right. I'm not saying he didn't do anything right, but it was just he built this team of interns. And this was my idea going into it. I said, I have a really good idea. Let's bring in 10 interns who do nothing but like cold call and direct mail and basically hunt for deals. And my buddy Ed is going to manage these people. Then I'm also going to bring in a team of 10 underwriters, which means analyzers, people who run the numbers and figure out what we can pay and make an offer and do that. I'll have 10 underwriters, 10 lead specialists, and I've got this super team of people getting deals coming in. Well, that failed, for lack of a better term, that failed because I didn't have the time to manage these people. There were too many cooks in the kitchen. They started overlapping each other and like one person would buy a deal. We didn't have great systems. So I would say that entire system failed. However, in that group, in the intern group of 10 people who were the salespeople, who were in charge of like the sales and stuff, one of those guys in that group ended up like leading the conversations, like meeting with people without me, like gathering them together, going, okay, guys, let's meet together and come up with a plan to get some sales. So we're not stepping on each other's feet and let's do this. And he was holding them accountable and he became a leader of that group. That guy is Mike Williams, my investor relations guy who I moved out to Maui here. One of my best friends in the world. I was just hanging out with him like 2 hours ago as he was feeding Ryan Murdoch's bird, who Ryan lives in my backyard at my other house back here. And so like that internship led to Mike Williams now being one of my executives in my company. Now, at the same time, the underwriting team, the analyzing team, one of the guys in there took our spreadsheet and said, yeah, this is crap. Let me redo it for you. Rebuilt our entire spreadsheet into the most comprehensive spreadsheet ever created for mobile home parks. I mean, it is unreal how good this thing is. All for free while working his full-time job. Then he was organizing the other analyzers and getting them to do different things and helping them do things. He became a leader of that group. That guy is Walker Meadows. Walker right now is my COO, runs my entire company. Like he's the day-to-day operations of my company today. So I said a minute ago that internship failed, but did it? Or did I just find a roundabout way to get there? Which is kind of fun. I mean, like the people that are in the group that, you know, they tried for a while. I feel bad that like they didn't get into the team, right? But in a way, it was a giant contest, which funny enough is what Jason, you actually told me, I don't know if you remember this, you told me this like 5 years ago when I was talking about needing an assistant. You said, well, what if you made some kind of like contest, like kind of a Hunger Games style thing and make people fight to the death for it? Like, and I didn't even go into it with that intention, but that's exactly what happened. And it goes to that just to reinforce that idea, you don't know how someone's going to be until you work with them. So my advice to anybody here building any kind of business right now is how can you find a way to make it a little Hunger Games style? And maybe you can't attract 10 interns. I know I've got a benefit there of being on the podcast, but there are people young and hungry in your world right now that you could bring in to see how they work and how they go and how they do. there's JVs you could work with people. There's things like I'm JVing right now on a big self storage deal with a friend of mine named AJ Osborne. We may work some big stuff in the future. We've got some kind of cool plans, but both of us are going, wait, let's just do one deal together. Let's find out how it goes. So again, find out how that's going to be.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Calling all property owners and operators. Are you managing a multifamily property and looking to elevate your residents' living experience? Introducing Quantum Fiber Internet, your go-to choice for speedy internet your residents will love. The process is as seamless as Quantum Fiber service. Starting at just $50 a month, your residents can enjoy fast, reliable internet that will make them love where they live even more. Connect with your local fiber representative today. Learn more at q.com/gobig. I wonder how they got that domain. That's q.com/gobig. Limited availability. Service and rate in select locations only. Taxes and fees apply. 360 Wi-Fi and other equipment lease charges, taxes, and fees are excluded from price for life offer and may be increased.
All right, moving on with the story. So at that point, we started paring down the team. And then I did, remember earlier I said in my vision, in the Vivid Vision, I had a plan to do masterminds in Maui, like live events in Maui where people come out and we mastermind together and we talk and we build each other up. So I did the first one. We called it the Maui Mastermind, which apparently is a trademark name that we can't use. So it's the Maui Real Estate Mastermind. And one of those members that came was a man named Brian Murray. Brian Murray, I invited him because he was a, author of a book called Crushing It in Commercial Real Estate. He had been in our podcast a couple times, and he was just like, I could just tell he was a good guy. Brian came to this event, and along with 20 other people, and it was a great time. We rented a yacht, and we went snorkeling, and we went surfing, and we did all this cool stuff. And we had these like real, like in-depth conversations about what are people dealing with, what's their challenges, what's their problem. And at that meeting, Brian said, "Look, he had 2,000 units of his own, and he said, I've been looking, like I'm here because I need friends. He's like, I need people. I need associates. I've been doing this alone forever. I just wanted to be with other people that were doing awesome stuff. And that's why he came to the mastermind." And then he said, "And I'm going to take my business to a new level." He's like, "It's time for me to shift from the small multi to large, to go make that transition into the syndication world." And he's like, "That's what I'm going to do." And at that same mastermind, I said, "Well, that's what I'm going to do too." And so Brian came to me and he said, "Well, if you're going to do that and I'm going to do that, why don't we just do it together?" And I was, first of all, flabbergasted, because this is Brian effing Murray. I mean, this is a big deal. Like, this is Brian Murray, owns thousands of units. Like, he's a big deal. And he wanted to partner with me. And it just shows, like, maybe I'm sure it is a limiting belief, but I didn't even think like he'd ever be interested in that. And now, like, Brian is my partner on Open Door Capital. He came in as a large minority owner, but a large owner of Open Door Capital. And we brought him in on that meeting. And at the time I had some anxiety about it, about like, oh, I'd have to give up. I mean, I wanted to give all my team members equity. Brian, of course, needed equity. Ryan was going to get a equity, but that's taking money out of my pocket. That's taking money out of my kid's pocket, right? That's the fear, right? We start getting greedy and we're like, oh man, if I give equity, if I share with other people, if I partner with people, that's money I don't get. But then I just had this simple question. I don't remember if somebody asked me, maybe Jason asked me, or maybe somebody else did. I don't know. They said, if you brought in all these people, these rock stars into your life, and they were the best at what they do, can you do, like, for example, I'll just give Brian as an example. If you brought in Brian, could you do twice as many deals as you could do without him? And the obvious answer was, yeah, of course I can. Okay, well then it's a win-win. Like, why not do it then? And the truth is, having Brian, having Ryan, having Walker, having Mike, having all my guys that are in the team now, you know, like having them, I can do 10 times, 100 times more than I could do on my own. So the mindset shift there, whatever, was just really like not thinking, what is this costing me by giving up equity and by JVing? It's what could I get from this? And could I do a lot more? So if anybody here is like feeling like that kind of constraint of, I don't want to share, just remember, like, with the right people, it's got to be the right people, but the right people, that synergy can produce far more than what you guys can do independently. So don't be afraid to share. All right, moving on. First deal we tried to buy together. The first one actually worked out okay. It was one that came from the actual internship team. It was the only one that came from that group team, and that came with my buddy Ed. And so again, it wasn't that he was bad. It's just that he was too busy to be able to fully dedicate to this. But we got a deal, we locked it up, then we realized very quickly we didn't know what we were doing. Like, I mean, we kind of did, but like there was a lot of lessons. Like, we don't know what we don't know. And that's just a scary part of jumping into real estate sometimes. You don't know what you don't know. And so luckily it was a smaller deal. It was a couple million dollars. Best deal. And this is just maybe a fluke, maybe an accident. But this deal, like, we built so much wealth in this deal. It's probably our best deal to date. And it was the first one. And we made so many mistakes in our underwriting and not knowing what we were doing. But we took action. We moved forward. The second deal that we locked up, we put $100,000 earnest money down. That means money that we pledged saying, hey, we will buy this property. We went and looked at it in person. I flew over there to Tennessee. I looked at it and we were like, we can't do this. Like, this is not a good property. And the seller refused to give back the earnest money. And we ended up having to go to court over it and had to settle somewhere in the middle. I think we lost $50,000 on that second deal. And it was such a blow, because I didn't have that much. I mean, we had just started. I didn't have money. I was trying to like fund all these salaries out of my own pocket and hoping that we could buy the property so I could get the fees to be able to support the team. And here I get dealt this blow where the seller was not relinquishing the earnest money. It was a mess. And I wanted to give up then. Like, I really did. I was like, this is just too hard. This is too complicated. And again, this is where, you know, Jason's been a part of all of this, by the way. So he knows all this, but over a 5-year period or whatever. It was a tough time, just like, oh, like, I can't believe we lost. Like, but really what this did, yes, we lost $50,000 on it, but we made that up. We've made that up many times since then. But this is the kind of the revelation, the lesson here learned here, is that mistakes lead to clarity. You see, that deal, that mistake, like the reason that we lost that money is because I'll give you a specific. I mean, specifically what happened was we found out that it had a whole lot of septic tanks, like 30 of them, septic tanks. And the septic tanks were not in great condition. And so what we decided in that moment was we don't want to do septic tanks. We don't want to deal with it. Maybe somebody out there wants to be good at septic tanks and that's their niche and that's what they want to be good at with septic tanks with mobile home parks. But we decided at that moment we will not do septic tanks. And that was a $50,000 lesson. But that $50,000 lesson helped us clarify what it is we do want. So today we've got very clear goals. I mean, we want 100 plus pads. We have a MS, like 100,000 people within a 20-mile radius. We've got no septic tanks, no lagoons, only city sewer and water. We want a certain percentage of them owned by tenants, not owned by the park. We've got all these criteria points. The criteria was built off mistakes, off of trying things and realizing, oh, we don't like that idea. So the lesson there is, yeah, mistakes suck. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they cost money. But they're learning experiences that help you create your criteria. And criteria is so important in real estate. I mean, it's so important in everything, but getting good at something and getting very specific on what you are good at will help you be able to hone in that skill and become the best. So like I would say I'm bragging. We are the best in the country at mobile home parks that have over 100 lots that are city sewer and water, that have primarily tenant owned properties with populations of 100,000 people within 20 miles. We are the best in the entire world at that thing. And so now we're able to land a lot of those deals. We're closing those deals all the time now because that's what we do. We're so good at that specific thing. And so again, lesson learned there is get specific. Don't feel like just because you niche down that it's going to limit your options. In fact, I think it opens up a lot of options. So mistakes lead to greater clarity. All right, moving on. The next thing we realized was we went through a dry spell. Like we had this thing going. We're struggling. We're going through a dry spell. We're not getting any deals. And so I went back to the basics of what I teach on Bigger Pockets webinars. I do a webinar every week for Bigger Pockets, and I teach the same concept over and over and over and over. Real estate is all about getting leads, analyzing those leads, pursuing those leads, and then success comes. So let's say I get 100 leads that come across my desk. A lead is like somebody who may want to sell their property. So maybe 100 phone calls I get from sellers. Out of them, I'm going to analyze them to decide how much I can pay. Out of that, I'm going to make an offer. I'm going to pursue some of them. And if I'm consistent with that, I'm going to land the deals that I want. It's just math. It's just a funnel. It's very simple. And so when people tell me they can't find any real estate deals, all I have to do is walk them through that funnel. Oh, you can't find any deals. Okay, well, tell me how many offers you made last week. I didn't make any offers. Oh, okay. Well, how many deals did you analyze? Show me your underwriting on all the deals you analyzed. Oh, well, I didn't analyze any. Or I analyzed one or two. Oh, okay. Well, how many leads came across your desk? And what were the leads from? Was it direct mail? Did you talk to brokers? Did you have a real estate agent? Were you driving for dollars? What's your lead source? Oh, I don't really have one. Oh, okay. It's like somebody saying, oh, I've been trying to lose weight for the last 3 months and I just keep gaining weight. And you're like, well, what are you doing? Well, I mean, I'm not doing anything. Well, what's your diet look like? Twinkies and nachos? What's your workout look like? Well, I don't get out of bed. It's like, we would be like shocked if somebody said that. Yet in real estate, we oftentimes are just like, yeah, I guess there's no good deals in my area. So what we went back to the basics and said, how many offers do we need to make in order to land a deal? At the time, it was about 10. Today, it's about 20 because the market's got a little bit tougher. But we said, okay, we got to make 10 offers to get one deal. How many deals do we have to analyze in order to make 10 offers? This is about 30. So about 2/3 of the deals that come across our desk that we analyze, we don't even offer on because they're not right for us. Okay, so we need to make 30 offers. How many leads do we have to get across our desk to be able to analyze about 30 of them? Probably about 100 because again, 70% of them are just kind of wasted leads. They're not good leads. Okay. So in other words, if we wanted to close a property every single month, we would need to get 100 leads every month. Yep. So I said, okay, let's do that. So we started tracking that meticulously. And we, to this day, we are meticulous. We meet every single week and we say, how many deals did we analyze? How many came across our desk? We call it a hard look. How many did we offer on? And we set goals. We're going to offer, and right now we're offering on basically 70 properties a quarter. That's our goal right now. Last quarter it was 50. This quarter it's 70. We're going to make 70 offers this quarter. And that should come down to three-ish, four-ish maybe deals that we'll buy. And in fact, yesterday I got a text from my partner, Brian. He said, hey, good news. We just got two deals accepted today for almost $50 million combined. In one day, we got almost $50 million of deals accepted. Do you guys remember my goal? What was my goal originally for my three-year Vivid Vision? Was $50 million of real estate in the course of 3 years. And we just got that much accepted in one day because we follow a process. So by the way, we did pass that $50 million now. We're over that. We're over 1,000 units. I think we're at 1,600 units, 1,700 units now. And it's all like, it's literally just numbers. And so anytime we have a dry spell, like where we go a few weeks or a month without a deal, I just say like, we have to just stick to the process. So the process works. Now we can refine our process. We can try to get better at our process, but the process is what delivers the results. So as long as we're consistent with that, we don't have to freak out about a week or two or a month of a dry spell. And if it gets too long, fine, then maybe we need to adapt our process. Maybe we need to shift then, but I'm not going to shift anything until we've tried our process for months at a time. And I think that just applies to almost every business in the world. Like if your process works and we know that it does, stick with it. If you need to expand it, but stick with it. So the lesson here to kind of summarize up in a nice, cute little phrase here is that success is not an accident. Success is a process. So what does your process look like for success? Follow it. All right. In there, moving on to the next kind of stage of Open Door Capital is now we've got six-ish full-time employees. Ryan comes to me, Ryan Murdoch, who was at the time running everything. Ryan was the COO. Ryan was running the operation. At the time, Walker, who's now COO, Walker was just an underwriter. He was our lead underwriter, deal finder. Ryan comes to me and says, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. He says, I love you. I love Open Door Capital. I can't work 80-hour weeks anymore. It's just too stressful. And he's like, I'm financially free. I've been financially free. I've got 100 of my own units. I make enough money. I live in Hawaii. I want to dive. I want to surf. I want to boogie board. I want to travel. And I can't do it working 80-hour work weeks at Open Door Capital. And it rocked my world for a little bit. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, everything's changing. Everything's up in the air. And again, Jason's been here for this. Like, what am I going to do? Oh, everything's falling around me. And then it didn't. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do? And Ryan's like, well, I mean, I still want to be here. I just don't want to work 80 hours a week. I'm like, oh, well, what do you like doing? He's like, well, I like doing this and this. I love traveling to go look at properties. I love helping with each team member. I don't want to be pushing papers 80 hours a week. I said, okay, let's build a job for you that you love. And so I worked there and I worked to make sure that Ryan had something that he loves to do. And it's a constant up and down. Like we're still working. Like every couple months, me and Ryan will sit down and like, are you happy right now? Do you like this? And this leads to another lesson learned here is that, and I heard this from Gary Vaynerchuk once. He said, your employees don't work for you. You work for your employees. And I very much in my life apply that to Open Door Capital. They don't work for me. I work for them. Like my job is to make sure that they are successful, that they're happy, that they're producing. Because if they're producing and happy and successful and they love their job and they're doing what's perfect for them and they're taking care of their families and they got the time off they needed, they're going to be loyal to me and they're going to deliver on what they need to me. And so again, the lesson learned there is that they don't work for me. I work for them. And so today Ryan stepped back from his full-time work. He still is super vital. He still owns part of the company. He's still there and he still makes money, but he does what he loves. And what really happened there, it was when Ryan got out of the way. I mean, Ryan's amazing, but Walker stepped up to lead and Walker was born for this. Like Walker is born for it. Walker loves an 80-hour work week, knocking this stuff out. And so had Ryan not stepped aside, Walker would not have got an opportunity to do what he was born to do. And maybe he would have left me at some point because he was so good at that thing. And so again, just lessons learned there. It's like, it's hard, but it works. Now in the next phase, now we got lots of employees. We got movement. We got things happening. We have HR. We've got deals coming down. We've got all this stuff. And for a while, it was just all up here in my head, in Ryan's head, in Walker's head. It was just a mess. We said we need to get more organized. We need to have and I was doing probably 20 hours a week of one-on-one meetings with each person on the team. And I was like, I don't want to work 20 hours a week at Open Door Capital. I want to work 4 hours a week at Open Door Capital because I got a lot of other things going on too. So how do I work less? How does a team do better? How do we grow? How do we expand? And the answer was we needed more systems in place. We needed a management system. Now, I am the most anti-corporate guy you probably have ever met. One of my favorite movies of all time is Office Space. I love it. I'm so anti-corporate that I kind of resisted it at first. So did Brian. Brian Murray hates the corporate stuff too. That's why we're in real estate, right? I'm guessing a lot of you do too. But I read a book called Four Disciplines of Execution. Four Disciplines of Execution by Chris McChesney. And we had him on our podcast. And it's a system for achieving big goals. And so we played with that for about a year, this 4DX system. And I still love it to this day. It's still amazing. I still use it to a degree. But then we expanded to an even bigger system called EOS. EOS is called the Entrepreneur's Operating System. It comes from the book Traction by Gino Wickman. Gino Wickman has the EOS system. It's basically a way of like aligning everyone's goals on the same page, a way of making sure that everyone knows where the company's headed, what the quarterly goals are, what the weekly deliverables are, what the annual goal is. What it basically puts everything your business has, employees and vacation hours and this and this and this, and it puts it all into a system that's on paper, or we use Asana, which is a project management tool, and we meet once a week. My hours went from 20 hours a week of working on Open Door Capitals to 2, almost overnight, by implementing a system. And our park size increased, our business increased, our leads increased, everything got better, everything got more systemized, because it's no longer in here, it's now on paper, it's now on Asana, it's all tracked, and it doesn't feel corporate. Like, it's a good time. It's a 1 hour meeting. It's 2 1-hour meetings that I have. I have the executive kind of meeting, and then we have just the team meeting once a week. And that's pretty much all I do anymore at Open Door Capital. I mean, yes, I raise money. I'll make a video here and there. I answer questions for my team when they have them, but the system is what runs Open Door Capital. I don't run it. Walker doesn't run it. Brian doesn't run it. Ryan doesn't run it. The system runs the team. And so that's just a lesson that I learned, is that management systems actually lead to freedom and growth. They don't constrain me. Yes, if we were talking TPS reports and just worthless stuff, like, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about just a good, and there's lots of different management systems out there. I just happen to like EOS. Bigger Pockets runs on EOS. I mean, a lot of people I talk to run on EOS today. So it's a good one, but there's a lot of them out there. But the point being, it's helpful. And you don't have to have a big team to do it. You could do an EOS system with one person. If you're a solopreneur, you could do it. But having that system just clarified everything and made it a lot better. And so, again, I don't like the rigidity sometimes of things, but I've just seen how well it works. Our new goal, we decided 50 million was too small. So we're like, what if we went to 250 million? We're like, yeah, it seems too small also. What if we went to 500 million? That seems pretty good. That seems comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. What about a billion? What if we bought $1 billion of real estate? And that scares me. Not scares me, like terrifies me, like I'm going to cry. But that's like, oh, geez, that's a big number. And so that's how I knew it was right. And so our 7-year vision right now, we have a 7-year plan, is to buy $1 billion of real estate. Now, let me tell you why this is so exciting to me and to our investors. So we have 400 investors that are working with us right now. We're going to keep continuing raising money. I need to raise probably $400 million in the next few years in order to buy $1 billion of real estate. We're going to deliver these consistent, awesome returns to investors. They get to passively invest in real estate with me and my team, which is great for them. They don't have to work at it. We work at it. My team, the fees that come in on the parks, like when we buy stuff, that pays for the staff. So I don't have to pay out of pocket for the staff, as long as we hit our goals every quarter and every year, which we will. I continue working just a few hours a week at this, making sure everything's working correctly. But we're going to turn $1 billion of real estate into $1.4 or $1.5 billion of real estate. That's $400 to $500 million of value we're going to create. I have the feeling today of what I wanted when I was in Nashville, 3 years ago. And I built it working backwards from that feeling. And so at every stage of this, like, it was never easy. There was always problems and questions and concerns. But the last lesson I want to leave everybody with today is that mindset coaching And this is not just a plug for Jason, but like literally mindset coaching at every single stage of this was vital. I would not have gotten through. I don't know if I would have gotten through any of those problems and difficulties had it not been for meeting with somebody every couple of weeks going, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm not sure how to get through this. And then Jason asking the right questions. And so over the course of the last few years, like I attribute so much to this coaching thing. And I've heard people say, well, you know, I coached for a few months and I got out of the rut I was in. And so I stopped coaching. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're just real, like those people are just really smart and they're way better at business than I am. But for me, it's like, I can't imagine not for the rest of my life, not like having somebody that I'm regularly meeting with, like Jason, to talk about these issues. Because there's, when you're growing, there's always another level. And there's always another thing that you're working through. And if you're not growing, there's still probably levels of like I need to treat my wife better. I need to treat my kids better. I need to lose some weight. So like, no matter what it is in my life, like I can't imagine not doing it. So that's just the final like kind of reframing and lesson that I've learned is, like performance coaching is not about just solving a quick problem and getting on with your life. It is the life. Like it is the ongoing maintenance that I will do. It's the oil change in my life that I'll have to do forever. Anyway, it's changed my life. So if you do not have a performance coach, I know you're in this academy, but if you don't have a performance coach, I would highly recommend it. Get somebody you can meet regularly with. I mean, like at this level, if you're in this group, you're at a level where like, if you had somebody setting goals with you, working towards your issues, answering these problems, just helping you like decompress like every couple of weeks, like could you not achieve an extra $5, $10, $20, $50, $100,000 a year in revenue? It's a no-brainer if I'm with anybody. So again, I don't want this to be a plug. Jason never asked me to say this. I just want to say like, this is like legit, like how it changed my life. So that is how we have opened doors over the past 3 years at Open Door Capital. And hopefully those lessons can apply to you all as well. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that episode where I talk about how I built up my $50 million plus business. And of course, it was not just me. Like when I say that, you know, we say I own $50 million of real estate. I own a piece of a company that invests in $50 million of real estate. And you can do the same thing. In fact, in a couple of weeks from now, David and I are doing a couple solo episodes, just him and I talking about how to first like build your team to build a real estate empire on a solo, like alone, and then how to build a team that you can scale. So look for those episodes coming up. I had a lot of fun recording them and they come out in the next few weeks. So
it's not every day you get to hear from somebody that built up a $50 million portfolio. Very cool.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it. And all y'all, don't forget to leave ratings and reviews on the show if you like it. And follow us over on Instagram. Bigger Pockets is at Bigger Pockets. You can find me at Beardy Brandon and David at DavidGreen24.
Yes, sir.
All right. You want to get us out of here?
Great job today.
Thank you.
This is David Green for Brandon, the multifamily man Turner, signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.